The 114th Congress convened today. This is the first time since 1944 that no veterans from World War II are going to be represented. In their place, the new Congress will see new veterans of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. Over the last 25 years, there has been a steady decline in the number of veterans in the House and Senate. In 1971, more than 70% of Congress was made up of former service members. Today, fewer than 18% in Congress have served. Joining us now to take a look at what that's going to mean for veterans across the country is Peter Feaver, professor at Duke University. He is an expert in civil-military relations. Peter, what happens when a veteran gets elected to Congress?
In individual terms, different veterans have different experiences. So think about the World War II. World War II produced President George Herbert Walker Bush and also Senator McGovern. Two people took very different takeaways from their experience. Vietnam produced Senator McCain and Senator Kerry. Two people who produced had very different reactions. The current wars produced the new Senator Tom Cotton and also the new member of House Seth Moulton, each of whom has had slightly different lessons or takeaways. And so at the individual level, you expect some variance. At the aggregate level, though, if you look at it over 150 years of experience, the percentage of veterans in Congress is associated with the actual performance of American foreign policy. The more veterans in Congress, the less likely the U.S. is to initiate the use of force. But if force is used, it will be a higher level of escalation. And the inverse is true. So the fewer the veterans, the more likely the U.S. will initiate the use of force, but then at lower levels of escalation.
And how about in terms of other issues around warfare? For instance, budgeting for warfare and budgeting for after warfare, for instance, veterans' benefits. Is there a correlation between the number of veterans and what happens in those areas?
There's less of a pattern there. And when you look at, say, roll call votes, do veterans vote different in roll call matters than non-veterans? And you don't really see a pattern. Part of that is because issues like defense budgets are driven heavily by constituent interests. And if you are a member of Congress from a district that has a defense industry, you're going to take that view regardless of whether you served. And the other reason is that veterans' benefits is something of a valence issue in American politics. There's not strong disagreement. Politicians, regardless of the party, tend to be supportive of more spending on veterans' benefits. And so that's why you don't see quite so much of a pattern of voting.
In terms of being more supportive of veterans' benefits, it's one thing to say you're supportive. It's another to actually allocate the money or push for the allocation of the funds. Do veterans have a louder voice or exert more power to the extent of their power when they're in Congress?
That has not been the pattern in the last 15 years. We've seen the percentage of veterans go down in the last 15 years, and yet the spending for pay and benefits and compensation, both for active duty and for veterans, has gone up. Now, where you might be right in speculating that there will come a difference is the coming fiscal train wreck. The pressure on defense spending is increasing, and pay and compensation, and particularly the health costs of veterans, is crowding out spending on active duty military and new force structure. And so increasingly, Congress is being faced with a choice. Do you pay for the military you used to have, or do you pay for the military you will need now and in the future? And when those votes come to the test, perhaps veterans will vote in a different way than non-veterans, although that hasn't happened in the recent past.
How often do lawmakers who had served in the military or maybe currently serving in the military make military issues and veterans affairs their key focus?
It varies. So certainly Senator McCain, for instance, is the illustrative example of a veteran who served in combat, who rose to fame in part because of his service in combat, and then has made national security his signature issue. But there are other veterans, and particularly in the larger population that's now passing of World War II vets, where they some were very active in foreign affairs and national security and veterans issues, and others had different interests. And so one of the things that we'll be looking for is how do the new class of Iraq and Afghanistan vets who had such a searing experience in Iraq and Afghanistan, such a formative experience, how do they execute their responsibilities? And in a climate when the percentage of Americans in general who have a connection to the military is shrinking. That's really the big change today. So 30, 40 years ago, you had a high percentage of veterans in the Congress, but you also had a high percentage of general Americans who had connections to the military. Nowadays, that number is shrinking, and it's a very, very small percentage of Americans who have personal connections to the military.
Right, under 10%, in fact. And then you mentioned back in 1971, veterans made up 72% of the members of the House, 78% in the Senate. So roughly three-quarters of the members of Congress were veterans. How did that affect votes in that time? Obviously, a very different time during the Vietnam War. And how are you seeing the votes of the veterans from the most recent wars affect the decisions and the arguments made in Congress?
Since the 1971 high water mark, you've seen two things. You've seen a decrease in the percentage of veterans in Congress, but you've also seen something of a sorting by party. So the conservative, hawkish wing of the Democratic Party gradually lost influence, and the Republicans became associated with strong on defense, and the Democrats got the reputation of being anti-defense, or at least anti-defense spending. There was some pushback against that after 9/11, as both Democrats and Republicans vied to show that they were strong on defense. But nevertheless, there has been something of a sorting, and that sorting has been matched by a growing perception of partisan affiliation among the active duty military. So that is the very same military that these recent class of veterans served in, and a military that is more associated with the Republic, connected with the Republican Party values, more alienated from the Democratic Party values. There's exceptions to that. Seth Moulton is a Democrat from Massachusetts and had a nationally prominent campaign. But the most prominent and successful veteran candidates were in the Republican Party, particularly I'm thinking of Senator Ernst and Senator Cotton. Both campaigned very prominently on their veteran status and are emerging leaders in the new Republican class of senators.
Peter Feaver, professor of political science and public policy at Duke University, where he studies civil-military relations. Nice to have you on the program.
Thank you for having me.